You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
When you consider the scripture, young people, in Romans 15 and 4, and for the sake of time, I have it here, Paul wrote, "For whatever things were written before, they were written for our learning." The things that were written before in the specifically word, they are written, help me, for our learning. When we consider this ancient book that we call the Bible, the Holy Scripture, understand something. It was written for our learning. Now, you got stupid folk that'll tell you, I don't believe the Bible because man wrote it. Well, man wrote the dictionary. Man wrote your driver's manual. God uses man in a number of capacities. But the scripture says that the scripture was written by holy men of God. And they were inspired by the Holy Spirit on what should be written. And so again, always remember, the scripture was written for our, help me, for our learning. Today, we're going to learn from a man in scripture by the name of King Rehoboam. Or his name was Rehoboam, but he was a king. Who are we going to learn about today? Rehoboam. Who are we going to learn about today? Rehoboam, or King Rehoboam. Now, when we consider the text, there are three lessons that we are going to learn on this morning. These lessons are timeless. When something is timeless, it can help generations over the centuries. And so when we consider these three verses on this morning, I want you to remember, it's three lessons that I need to learn from this text. Are you ready to learn on this morning? So when you consider King Rehoboam, the first lesson that I want to teach you about is the lesson of heritage. When you consider these verses, young people, we see that we learn about the heritage of Rehoboam. And young people nowadays need to learn about heritage, especially heritage that has to do with your family, but more so importantly, heritage that has to do that pertains to God. Heritage is very important. What's the first lesson? Help me. When we speak about heritage, it has to do with tangible and intangible traits that you have inherited. I have heard people say about my son, you know, your son walked just like you. That's a part of his heritage. He got that walk from his daddy. But then I've heard people say, man, you know, your son looked just like your wife. That's a part of his heritage. There are intangibles about you that remind people where you come from. Spiritually, you have a heritage. People should be able to look at your life and tell you, you go to church. You got a pastor. You've been taught. So much so that some people ask, Where you go to church at? What's your heritage? You know, when you teach or preach, you sound just like so-and-so. That's a part of your heritage. But then, young people, you can inherit things. Grandmama can leave you a car. And when you turn 16, 17, you got a car that's already paid for. All you got to do is do right, and you can possess it. Or some of you have parents. They've been working hard, but they know they're going to die one day. And so they are possessing things that they can leave for you, and hopefully you don't mess it up. So these are things that are synonymous with a heritage. But most importantly, young people, what I want you to remember when we talk about heritage is your name. Your name. I can remember when I was your age, my mother sat me down and she said, Jerome, understand, you come from a line of distinguished men. We don't go to jail. And if you notice, your daddy didn't have no babies before he got married. Your granddaddy didn't have babies before he got married. On both sides of the family. This is where you come from. And so you need to make sure that you uphold this heritage or your name. And see, that's how you have to realize we have been saved now. We bear the name of Jesus, and so we got a godly name we need to live up to. We have godly standards that we need to live up to. So much so, young people, Paul told one church when he got to hearing about things going on in their life, he said, man, this stuff ain't even named among sinners. And y'all out here doing it, calling yourself godly? You and I, we must remember that a good name is to be preferred more so, the Bible says, than rubies. Your name is very important. Tell somebody, say, my name is important. Yeah. In the scripture, we see that Rehoboam's father was Solomon. Solomon was king of Israel. And Solomon's name meant peaceable. God promised to prosper him, and he did, like no other king since. He had more wisdom than anybody. He had so much possession, so much money. People would come from not other cities, but other countries just to see how God blessed him. Now, this is what's amazing. Again, Solomon, or his daddy's name, meant peaceable. And Solomon was God-made. God made Solomon king. He chose him to be king. When he saw that he was humble, when he saw that he wanted knowledge and wisdom and understanding to lead the people, the Lord chose him to be king. He was God-made. Are y'all still with me? Now, his first son, Rehoboam, who we're talking about today, his name does not mean peaceable or suggest that he was God-made. Rehoboam's name means made fat or large by the people. Rehoboam was man-made. When folks saw that Rehoboam was strong, the scripture says in 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 1 that they made him king. They saw that he had certain qualities and who his father was, so he was man-made. They put him in position. What is all this saying to us, young people? You can come from a good family. You can come from good stock. Your parents can be in the church, leaders. They can love the Lord. But you can choose to do something totally different. Why wouldn't Rehoboam just follow in the legacy that his father left for him? It was his choice. You got some of us, you come out of a good home. Why are you trying to be street? That ain't how you came up. You come out of a household that believes in bringing God his tithe and his money. Why are you stingy? You come out of a household to where they're striving to be productive in every aspect of life. Don't you know you can mess that up? I said you can mess up your legacy. You can mess it up. Even when you look at some families that are jacked up, you have to have the mindset, just because my family is jacked up, I don't have to continue that legacy. Just because granddaddy was an alcoholic, daddy was an alcoholic, that don't mean I got to be an alcoholic. You can change that legacy. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away. We are free moral agents. And see, this is my mindset, young people. When you see that someone has set a good pattern for you, if you got a sound mind, you should just follow that same pattern. You would have thought that Rehoboam wanted to be God-made, but instead he chose to be man-made. Are you getting it on this morning? And it just didn't happen to Rehoboam. I said, well, Lord, this has been happening for centuries. This has been happening for ages. And as I began to meditate and study throughout the week, the Lord brought to my attention the Curry family. How many have ever heard of Steph Curry? Even if you don't play sports, how many have ever heard of Steph Curry? Steph Curry came from a family of basketball legacy. His father, Dale Curry, was the man back when I was y'all age. His father was an All-American, highly recruited, great in college, set records in the NBA. And so when he had his son, Steph Curry, Steph didn't get to be as tall as his dad. In high school, he was a 3-star recruit, average. People overlooked him because of his small size. I'm 6'3". We the same height, but we don't shoot the same. He shoot way better than me. And so when he graduated from high school, nobody wanted him. Nobody wanted him. The offers that he did get, it was to walk on. Now, he knew, according to my research, he knew he could shoot. He knew he was skilled, and he knew the legacy he came from. You know what he said he was going to do? He said, I'm just going to get in here and put in this work. I'm just going to put in this work. And how many know the Bible says your gift will make room for you? So he messed around and went to the only school, Davidson, that gave him an offer. Went to Davidson and showed out. Went to the tournament, March Madness, showed out, got put out. Now, all of a sudden, everybody in the country, they wanted him. Duke wanted him. Kentucky wanted him. Tennessee wanted him. But you know what he told his dad? He said, they didn't want me back then, and so I don't want them right now. Continued to work on his gift to live up to his family name. And we know the end of the story. One of the greatest shooters in NBA history. You have to have the determination to live up to your godly name. You have to have the determination, no matter what your peers do. I'm a trendsetter. I'm saved, I'm Holy Ghost filled, I'm not going to blend in with the crowd, I'm going to set the trend. If they don't like who I am, that's their fault, but I'm not going to mess up my godly identity. But too many times, I have seen it over the years, young people in church got the greater one on the inside of them. Instead of being who God wants them to be, they change their name and be who the world wants them to be. You got to remember who you are. Your heritage is important. The second lesson that we see when it comes to Rehoboam is his heart. First, it was his heritage. Then we learn about Rehoboam's heart. The heart, young people, is the place where you perceive and the place where you make your choices. You talk the way you talk because of what's in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? The mouth speaks. And how you speak is how you're going to make choices. Because the Bible teaches death and life is in the power of the tongue. So whatever I say, that's going to basically wield my actions. If I say I can't, I'm going to act like I can't. So the heart, young people, is very important. So much so, let's consider 2 Chronicles 12 and 1. And notice what the Bible says about Rehoboam. 2 Chronicles, not Corinthians, 2 Chronicles. And it says, now it came to pass. Y'all still with me? It came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom. This is what I told y'all about earlier. And had strengthened himself. Notice that he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel along with him. He forsook the law of the Lord. He stopped allowing the word to be hidden in his heart. David said, I hide thy word in my heart so I don't sin against you. Rehoboam started sinning because he stopped doing the word. His heart wasn't loyal to God. His heart was not loyal to God. And see, young people, if you truly say the word is going to be in your heart and you're going to be striving to do it, you're not going to be playing around. You're going to take this thing serious. You're sincere. Your heart is right. You're not going to switch up just because you go through different things. No, your heart is right. And Jesus said in Matthew 22:37, look at it. You shall love the Lord your God with how much of your heart? All your heart. How much of your soul? All your soul. How much of your mind? All of your mind. God don't want part. He don't want to be the side chick. He want to be number one. He want us to love him with all of our heart. But notice Rehoboam, as soon as he started strengthening himself, that's when he backslid. That's when he left the Lord. So you have to be careful. As soon as God start doing for you, we're going to see what's in your heart. There's some people, as soon as they get a car, they stop coming to church. As soon as they get their own place, they stop coming to worship the Lord. When they didn't have no money, they was giving hard because they wanted God to bless them. But when God blessed them with the money, they started holding back on the giving. How's your heart? Rehoboam's heart was not loyal. He was faking. He wasn't real. And the day and time we're living in, young folk, we can't afford to fake it. We got to be real. The Bible says that it's the Lord who judges the heart. He looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance. Man will look and think that you got it going on. But God will look beyond the surface and look at your actions. He can tell where our heart is when he look at our prayer life. He can tell where our heart is when he looks at how we witness or tell our friends about Jesus. He can tell where our heart is when we won't clap our hands when it's time to give him praise. He can tell where our heart is when we won't shout hallelujah to his name. But then he turn around and see you dancing on TikTok. Your heart ain't loyal to the Lord. He see you listening to music you ain't got no business listening to and you jamming to it. He sees that your heart is not loyal to the Lord. We got to love him with all of our heart, young people. I said we got to love him with all of our heart. When you love God with all of your heart, even when you mess up, you try to get that thing right because you don't want to offend your God. You don't want to disappoint your God. You go to God like David. You got the creator in me, Lord, a clean heart. I've been talking in some ways I ain't got no business talking. I've been touching some things I ain't got no business touching. Lord, I want to be saved. Help me to live right. Help me to think right. Help me to talk right. When you're doing that, that says you got a loyal heart. Look at somebody and say, your heart got to be right. Yeah, if you put all of your heart into sports, but you don't put all of your heart into God, your heart ain't right. You put all of your heart into playing video games, but you don't put all of your heart into worshiping the Lord, your heart ain't right. But look at somebody and say, we can get it right. Yeah, we can get it right. How can a young man cleanse his ways or his heart? By taking heed to the word. All you got to do is start putting this word into action and it'll clean your heart up. Anybody know that the word will clean you? Yeah, it'll clean you. It'll get that heart right. And so when we look in the text, we see about Rehoboam's heritage and we see about his heart. Y'all said y'all were going to talk back. We see about Rehoboam's heritage and we see about his heart. But what I really want to teach about is who Rehoboam chose to heed. Who he chose to give heed to. And part of your maturity as a young woman, part of your maturity as a young man comes down to who you're listening to. Who you allowing influence in your life. And who are you obeying? That's what it means to heed. Who am I listening to? Who am I allowing to influence my character? Who influencing that hairstyle you got? Who influencing you wearing your shirt with your titties showing? Who influencing you to put them pants down below the crack of your back? Who influencing you to start smoking? Who influencing you to start freaking? Who influencing you? Who are you giving heed to? Who are you obeying? And whether you admit it or not, you and I, we gonna heed somebody. You can sit there and tell me I do what I want to do, but somebody is in your ear. Somebody is influencing you. And somebody you are obeying. And this is what get me. You can know the person or not know the person. Who are you heeding? It's such a good question that the scripture says that we should take heed to ourselves. Every now and again, you need to be able to just sit down and just have a talk with yourself. Who controlling me? Who controlling me? Who influencing me? Now, I know I can make my own choices, right? But who is giving me that push? And this is what we see in the meat of these three verses. Who Rehoboam was giving heed to. Lord have mercy. Now, the text reveals he had two people or two groups of people. He had in his life the elders and the young men that he grew up with. What were the two groups of people he had in his life? The elders and the young men that he grew up with. Now, at the time when Rehoboam became king, young people, the scripture says he was 41 years old. Young man still, 41. So keep in mind, the young men that he grew up with had been in his life for decades, years. And this is who he had in his life. The young men he grew up with and the elders. Let's look at both of these. Because there are similarities and differences that God's young people need to know and understand about the elders and young people that you grow up with. Yeah. Number one, the elders. When we talk about elders, we're talking about folk that are older than you, right? Mm-hmm. Folk that should be more mature than you. Oftentimes, an elder can be considered a person that is in a leading position, okay? We like to use the word seniority. You can be the same age as someone, but they can have seniority. You're on a team, both of y'all running backs, both of y'all shooting guards, but one of you gonna have seniority or be in a position of leadership. And so that particular person is expected to take the youngins under their wing. So you consider a senior to be an elder, a junior on the team to be the team elder. Why? They are in a position of leadership. Now, biblically or in the church, an elder is a mature male minister, someone who helps bear the burdens of the pastor. Y'all with me? Elder Leeks, Elder Bray, Elder White, Elder Thomas, Elder Beasley. These are five of the elders here at a place of refuge. And Elder Florence, 6. Jackson, 7. Y'all gonna make sure I got all of them. But the elders are mature when it comes to decision making. Are y'all with me? So you got elders in the church and you got elders in the world. Also, you can consider grandmama to be elder, big mama, your elders, right? Y'all act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. See, I come from a time where we valued elders. I come from a time where you would want to try to hang around folk that were 70, 80 years old. Yeah, they were your elders. The young men, they represented folk that were childish. Adolescence. Now remember, he grew up with them. They were immature for a period of their life, and contextually, they were still that way. Now, whether you admit it or not, 98% of who you hang around, they still childish. 98% of who you hang around is still childish. Want to be treated like an adult, but still have not put away childish way. Come on, and let's just tell the truth. Look at your friend list. Most of them are still adolescents. Ain't got bill to first. Grown folk pay bills. Not that responsible. Grown folk are responsible. And I knew I wasn't going to get too much help when I got to this point, but it's just the truth. It's right. But you have to be able to discern who's an elder and who's still childish. That's in my life. Because you can give heed to both. Are y'all still with me? So there's similarities and differences. I got to show you just one in each group. Because you don't need to treat your peers that are childish like they grown. That's right. And you don't need to treat the elders in your life like they outdated and they don't know nothing. Because that's how we do. Mama, you had your life. You don't know what you're talking about. You better watch it. But then you turn around and treat somebody who been on this earth for 19 years like they know something. Somebody you seen on TikTok, YouTube, like they telling you the whole truth and they care about you. You'll treat adolescents like an elder and you'll treat elders like an adolescent. I've been there. I've done it. And I pray you can hear this good old teaching and you don't do like I used to do. So you need to know some differences. Are y'all still with me? Y'all ain't saying nothing, but this is some good teaching. Now, the obvious difference between the elder and the youth is age, right? Age and oftentimes size. That's an obvious difference. You could put experience in there, but we'll deal with that later. For now, the obvious difference between the elders and young people is your size and your age. When you are young or an adolescent, you're not fully developed. I said you're not fully developed. Your mind is not fully developed at 17, at 21. I have found out that scientists have said that the brain does not fully develop until around the age 25 for male and female. And so your brain is not even fully developed. And you start smoking as a teenager? You start having sex and activating some emotions and things, and your body is not even fully developed? What are you thinking? Are you thinking? You're considering doing some things, and you're not even fully grown yet. So you have to look at the difference, age. And size. Now, it can work in a negative or a positive, because I firmly believe you can be young in age, but your mindset can be mature. You can be young in age, but your decision making is skilled or godly. See, that's what I have the opportunity to do for at least 10 to 13 years of your life, depending on when you come up under this teaching. I get you when you a child. I get you when you're still developing. But if you get a hold to this word, God can mature your mind as if you was 30 years old. God can have you thinking and talking as if you've been on this earth for 50 years. Folks say you got an old soul, but no, the truth of the matter is you just been up under the word. And see, when you look at Jesus in Luke chapter 2, he was a preteen, but the Bible says he grew in stature. He grew in grace. He grew in wisdom. He was 12 years old, but he was making some choices in his life better than some of the grown folk in his day. When the Hebrew boys were examined, the king said, man, y'all 10 times better than the young folk this day and time. See, that's the privilege I have as being a pastor. If you submit to me as your pastor, you may be young, but you can end up being like David in the scripture. Folk may look down on you. Folk may despise you because of your age, but you've been in God. You've been up under that teaching, and so when you see Goliath, you ain't moved. When you see challenges, you're not easily shaken. When you get to going through trials and tribulation, you don't lose your mind because you have the mind of Christ. Woo, that's powerful. I said you can be young people, but still have a mature mindset. Are you with me? Notice here, 1 Samuel 17, for the sake of time, the story of David and Goliath. Goliath came to town talking big junk, picking a fight, looking for anybody that would want to go to war with him. Goliath had been a man of war since he was a child, and he had, sadly, Israel shaking in their boots. The spirit of fear had got a hold to them. Saul at the time was a warrior. David's brothers were big in stature and knew how to fight, but nobody would go up against Goliath. But here come old little David. Here come old ruddy little David that had been keeping his father's sheep, and he went and asked what will be done for the person that kills or defeats this Goliath. He said, well, you're going to get your taxes paid, you're going to get a house, and you're going to get a woman. David said, well, I'm going to the fight on tonight. Woo! Look at somebody and said, David stepped up. Yeah, he stepped up. Look at 1 Samuel 17, 33. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, a young person. And he a man of war from his youth. We know the story. They look down on David because his age. And you better listen to me real good. Some people will look down on you because you are a teenager. Some people will look down on you because of your lack of experience. But as I said earlier, you got to know who you are. You got to know you got the greater one on the inside of you. And if the whole world be against you and God be for you, you are still more. I've been through it. People look down on me because I pastor young folk, but I have been taught I'm not going to let nobody despise my youth. I know exactly who I am. Woo! Look at somebody and say, you got to know who you are. Man, David went to the battle and he slew Goliath. He slew him real quick. Tell somebody it was light work. Yeah, it was real light work. But he knew who he was. He knew who he was so much so that when he was getting ready to go to battle, y'all still with me? That Saul said, David, all right now. You young, you gonna need some armor. Once you put this armor on, once you take these weapons, and the Bible said that David tried on the weapons, he tried on the armor, and he tried to walk, and he told Saul, man, I can't walk in this. I don't know about this. And he took it off, and he said, let me just take my shepherd's bag with these rocks in it, and let me take this slingshot. He knew how God had equipped him. He didn't need what the world needed. All he needed is what God had equipped him with. And see, that's how we need to be. We may be young, but all we need to do is just grab a hold to what God has equipped us with, and we're going to be productive in every aspect of life. Whether you in college or working, you can still be productive. Whether you at mama house or on your own, you can still be productive. You just got to use the tools that God has given you. Even Jeremiah, historians say, was around 17 years old when God said, I'm going to use you as a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah looked back at God and said, God, I can't do this. I'm nothing but a youth. And the Lord checked him and said, no, I'm going to put my word in your mouth, and you don't look at them folk, and you say what I tell you to say. And Jeremiah said, okay. And so at 17, he started prophesying what God had put on the inside of him. All you and I got to do is just use what God gives us. Look at somebody and say, use what God gives you. So that's one of the differences, age and size. But as long as we got God and we using what he gave us, age ain't nothing but a number. I said age ain't nothing but a number. And so you have to look at your peers. What kind of tools are they having? If I don't use what God is giving me, you're going to use what somebody giving you. If you don't use what God giving you, you're going to pick up the same gods as your friends that's sinners. You're getting all this teaching, all this word. If you don't use this, you're going to pick up what your friends that are not saved, what they're using, and you're going to try to use that, and it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work because you know better. You know the truth. The same way David took off that armor, he used what God gave him. You're going to have to take off what the world is trying to give you. Yeah, and just say, make up in your mind, I'm going to use what God has given me. You cannot use what these rappers are using and get what God has for you. You can't use what they're doing on TikTok to get what God has for you. If you want what God has for you, you got to get it with what God wants you to use it with. Are you understanding? You can't get what you want or the success that you want doing it like a sinner. No, his ways are not like man's ways. So we got to learn the ways of God. That's why David said, Lord, teach me your ways. Teach me, Lord. Teach me your ways. But then there's something that's similar between the elders and the youth. Are y'all still with me? The one thing that's similar between the elders and the youth is a relationship with God. So we see differences between us and older folk. But one similarity is a relationship with God. That's when we start seeing God shows no respect to person. The Bible says he'll bless the small and the great. He'll bless the young and the old. So what makes me and older folk on the same page is what David said here in Psalm 37:25. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. See, whether you young or whether you old, and you got a relationship with God, God gonna bless you both. The same God that delivered grandmama from cancer is the same God that can deliver you from a cough in your throat. The same God that delivered granddaddy from gout is the same God that can deliver you with a sprained ankle. The same God that kept grandmama when she was old and up in age is the same God that can keep you while you young at age. He said, I've been young and I've been old, but God do them both the same. He doesn't forsake neither one of them. The same way God kept a roof over mama head, a roof over daddy head, he the same God that can put a roof over your head, and he can keep you as well. Y'all ain't getting excited about it. That's what puts us in the same boat. That's why we should respect the elders. They have a relationship with God, and I have a relationship with God. I said they have a relationship with God, and I have a relationship with God. At what point do you get to know the God that your grandparents served? At what point do you get to know the God that you see grown folks shouting about? You got to choose to have your own personal relationship with him so you can have a resume of testimonies. We just don't want to hear from your parents. We love hearing from Minister George about how God blessed him with his cars that are paid for. We love hearing about how the Lord blessed him with 5 vacations in 1 year. We love hearing that. But don't you know you serve the same God he served? When is some young folk going to be proud to stand up and say, look what God did for me. He did it for Minister George, and he did it for me. You serve that same God. But if you get like Rehoboam, and start taking on and picking up these idol gods in the land, you messing up. You messing up. Slap up. And time gonna tell it. And so in my close, we see in our text, Rehoboam had a decision to make. 41 years old, he's the new king, and the people have a request, and he wants to know how to handle this situation. Unfortunately, he didn't make the right move. And this one choice in his life caused division in the kingdom and death. Understand something, young people. You're going to have pivotal or important decisions to make in life. And you're going to hear from your pastor. You're going to hear from the internet. You're going to hear from your family members. You're going to hear from a number of sources. But you got to understand, there are certain choices that you make. They can make or break you. Who you choose to heed is very important. Just because daddy may not know social media the way you know it, that don't mean you disregard what he trying to teach you. Just because mama got slow Wi-Fi at home, that don't mean she don't know what she talking about. You got to make sure you give heed to the right folk and don't be like Rehoboam. This dummy listened to the wrong folk. I said this dummy listened to the wrong folk. I want to give you two reasons in my close on why you need to heed your elders. Why you need to heed your elders. Why you need to heed mature folk, godly folk. Now, I do understand that all elders are not godly elders, right? Some of us got elders in our life, they ain't saved. And they'll tell you stuff like, yeah, go on, live a little bit, baby. Go on, you young. Go on out there and do a little something, something. All right, you get to going out there doing a little something, something. And you can mess yourself up. You actually got grown folk, old folk. Live a little bit, baby. Try some. It ain't going to hurt you. And you try and become an addict. You become a freak. You become a lover of money. You push God to the side. So 1 Kings 12 and 6, two reasons why we need to heed our elders. Lord, this is some good teaching. It says, then King Rehoboam in verse 6 consulted the elders, notice, who stood before his father Solomon, notice the text, while he still what? Lived. The elders stood before Solomon while he still lived. The first thing I want you to see from that clause is my first point. The elders in his day that stood with Solomon, young people, they had righteous life experiences. Solomon was a righteous man. These elders consulted with Solomon. They had experience in living right. This is who he went to talk to, folk that were living right, and had righteous life experiences. Just like I said a few moments ago, all elders don't have righteous life experiences. Some of your grandmamas, they've been living a long time, but may not tell you what's according to God's written and revealed word. Some of our aunts and uncles, some folk we work with, go to school with, and so forth, they may not tell you that which is righteous. When you have someone in your life trying to tell you about life from a righteous or biblical perspective, young people, you got to take advantage of that. That's right. You don't look down on somebody just because they're older than you. That's right. And see, I think that's one thing this generation has lost, is respect for their elders. Now, you can say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, and still not respect your elder. Man, forget her. She old and broke. No, it's something wrong with that. I said there's something wrong with that. When I got saved and I found this church, I was 20 years old. I got saved at 19, but I found the church when I was 20. Y'all still with me? One of the first things I had in my mind is I got to get to know some of the older folk in this church. Now, at the time, we didn't have as many as we do now. There was a few. There was a woman named Mother Elizabeth Sales, Mother Liza.
She was one of the mothers of the church that I got close to. When my wife started having children, all them babies she started having. No, we just got two. But when we started having Gabe, or when my wife had Gabe, my wife had to work, I would follow the bishop around, and I would ride with Mother Liza on the church van. And I would bring my son with me, and she would just share life experiences with me. She would share with me different testimonies of things that God had done in her life. I could say the same about my natural grandmother on my mother and my father's side. But then when I got to the church, I said, man, I got to get to know some of these older men. I got close to Elder White. We had Elder Freeman. How many know what I'm talking about? Back in the day, we had this elder who couldn't see, Elder Johnson. It was like he was stuck in the 70s, but he still had some life experiences that were righteous. And see, young people, you got to take advantage of certain relationships. When you see folk like Minister Powell, do you know she been through some things? Don't you know sometimes you just need to pull up on her? Say, how you doing, Minister Powell? What's this and that? I done heard about this and her. And let her just pour some of that oil on you. Let her just share some of her righteous life experiences. Don't be in such a hurry to be grown, but learn sometime how to sit at the feet of your elders. Notice Proverbs 16. Y'all stay with me. 16 and 31. For the sake of time, read it right here. The silver-headed head, or the silver-haired head, or gray-haired person, notice, is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. Folk that got gray hair, they got some experience. But notice how he makes a distinguishing trait. If they got that gray hair, why they been living right. See, you can learn something from your gray-haired mother, your gray-haired daddy, your gray-haired grandmama that's been in the Lord for years. You know, Pastor Baker, 48, but I got some gray hair. But I've been in the Lord almost 30 years. I may not know some of the latest dances, but I can teach you something about life. I can teach you something about money. First Lady, Minister Akilah, Minister Leeks, Minister and Elder Leek, they can teach you something, even though we got some silver gray hair. If I'm teaching right, somebody say, he teaching right. Yeah. And that's one thing we should do when we get up in age. We should teach folk good things. Y'all remember I was telling you about Steph Curry, right? Remember how I was telling you how he was a 3-star recruit? Yes or no? Do y'all remember? You know, he has a tour now where he goes around highlighting 3-star recruits in high school. The same way he was overlooked as a 3-star recruit, now he has a basketball tour where he goes around and he showcases high school athletes, male and female, that are 3-star recruits and gives them a national platform. See, that's what it's about. It's about gaining wisdom in life with your relationship with God, then turning around and helping somebody else. That's what it's about, young folk. It's about me being saved 20, almost 30 years, but what I have gained, now I come back and I teach you. But what does that say about you? I don't want to hear what Pastor Baker say. I'd rather listen to NBA Youngboy. I'd rather listen to what they talking about on BMF, on Power, on this crazy show and that. What does that say about you? When you got elders that have gained all this wisdom, but you reject that, and you want to take on what the world is trying to teach you. That ain't no good thing. Look at somebody and say, that ain't no good thing. Yeah, you should be running the sister so you can learn some good things. You should be running the mentor so you can learn some good things. When you turn 18, you should be in the men's ministry so you can be taught some good things. Every Sunday, you should be coming in here hungry and thirsty because you know God gonna give you something that's good. Pastor may be 2.5 times my age, but I know he got some righteous life experiences you ain't gonna get from YouTube. You ain't gonna get this. You ain't gonna get it. You're in a privileged position. But if you push this away, that's on you. I said, if you push it away, that's on you. The last trait, Lord have mercy. Notice the text. The text says, and they spoke to him. This is verse 7. And they spoke to him, the elder, saying, if you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants for what?
Forever.
So first, elders have righteous life experiences. And secondly, godly elders know the benefit in serving. The elders told Rehoboam, look, man, just be a servant. Just serve these folk. Don't take advantage of them. Just be a servant. It's something about the old folk that knew the blessing in serving God. Baby, just be faithful to God, and it's going to pay off. See, when you get involved with a loyal and sincere heart in your local youth church, that's serving. When you take this word and you put it into action, that's serving. When God has blessed you to sing and you got the time and you say, Lord, I'm going to give this gift back to you. And you get in the choir, you get on the praise team, guess what that is? That's serving. But you sit there knowing you got all that talent and you're being encouraged to serve, but you selfish, what does that say about you? You ain't taking heed to your elders. They would tell, just serve, man. Serve these folk. The blessing is in serving. Just being a servant. Don't be selfish. Be more concerned about other folks and not just yourself. Go and hug your neighbor. You got some young folk won't even do that. Man, go tell one of the visitors, you glad to see them. Won't even serve and do that. Just selfish. Just always thinking about themselves. But see, folk that's been in God for a while, young folk, we know the blessing of serving. We remember what Jesus said. Matthew 20:26, let it shall not be so among you, but whosoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. See, if you want to be great in life, Jesus said you need to be a servant. You want to be the best you can be, you need to find a way to serve. Find a way to serve. Find a way to help somebody else and not just yourself. Based on this teaching, how many see that we should have a mind to heed our elders? Have I made it plain enough? Well, I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for...